Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Today we'll be jumping back into our series titled The Force Awakens, a series that's kind of been taking us through the book of Acts. We took a little break the past few weeks as we had some guest speakers while I was gone on kind of vacation and gone to the Foursquare National Convention. And so 2 weeks ago we had Sheila. I saw her back there. Sheila, our own children's leader and pastor there, she spoke. And then last week, my good buddy from Eugene, Tyler Nice, spoke. And I just got to say this. Both of them knocked it out of the park, okay? Both of them did a phenomenal job. And as a matter of fact, if you missed either of those weeks, I really would encourage you to go online and to listen to them online because they really did an amazing job. And it's funny, cause especially being at the convention this a couple weeks ago, you hear numerous pastors talk about the struggle of leaving their church, the struggle of missing a service and worrying, you know, what's going to happen while I'm not there, and worrying, you know, if things are going to crumble, you know. But here's the interesting thing for me. I don't even worry, man. Sometimes I forget. I'm like, oh, crud, it's Sunday. Oh, and especially in Hawaii because it's 3 hours behind. I'm like, oh, they're already halfway through the service right now. You know, I hope things are going well because I'm not there and it's all good, right? But it's such a blessing for me to be able to go away and know that the church is in good hands, that we've got great people here in this church helping the church run and helping things go smoothly. And as a matter of fact, Sheila even bragged about how amazing everybody was and how so many people just kind of stepped up to make sure that things were running smoothly, to make sure that things were happening. And so, again, I just want to say thank you to everybody who helped that happen a few weeks ago. And so it's just a blessing, like I said, to be able to go and just know that, hey, it's all God's church, right? And even if they do mess it up, God will pick it up, right? God will pick up the pieces, and it's not even about me. It's about what He's doing in our lives. And so it's just a blessing to be able to go and know that God is good. Amen. Well, as we dive back into our series this morning, let me just kind of refresh you on where we left off. If you weren't here, if you forgot, but we finished up chapter 7, and it was at the end of chapter 7 where Stephen was killed by the religious leaders, right? And it was at this time now that the persecution of the early church is kind of stepping up to a whole new level, okay? And so this is where we're going to pick up in chapter 8. It's immediately following Stephen's death, and it's where the persecution really begins to hit for the early church. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me as we're going to read Acts chapter 8, just verses 1 through 8 this morning. This is what it says. It says, "And Saul was there, giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there, the Messiah. Verse 6, when the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city." We're going to stop there this morning. Now, considering the circumstances, and after experiencing the death of their friend Stephen, it's only natural, right, that the early church would be disappointed, that they'd be discouraged as they mourn this loss of one of their great leaders. I'm sure that in this time there were some that, you know, questioned, what's going on? What is God doing? You know, how could God let them kill Stephen? He was doing great works for the Lord. You know, and I'm sure many of them were thinking, now what do we do? What are we going to do from here? And I wonder if we don't find ourselves sometimes asking those same questions in our own life. What are you doing, Lord? How could you allow this to happen? This isn't the way I planned it. What are you trying to accomplish? Well, let me try to give you just some perspective on what I want to share today. Once again, it really comes down to Acts 1:8. I mean, when you think about the book of Acts, it always comes back to Acts 1:8 that says this, but you will receive power, right? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, God's main purpose on this earth is to bring people into loving relationship with Him. It's His purpose. He wants us all to have a loving relationship with Him. He created us for His pleasure. He created us to have a relationship with Him. But a loving relationship is not possible between a holy God and an unholy people. People who have been infected by sin. And so because of this, God created a plan to take care of the sin problem, right? He had a plan to make His people holy once again and to restore that relationship with Him. And this plan is carried out when people connect with the life and death of Jesus Christ. And you see, God was using Stephen here to help people connect with Jesus. Now, Stephen, I believe, was obviously very effective in doing this, right? He was helping bring people to Jesus. And the reason I believe this is why the religious leaders wanted him dead. Because he was so good at bringing people to Jesus. But here's something that we have to remember when we think about Stephen's death. God's purpose is always bigger than just one person. It's always bigger than just one person. Stephen's life wasn't just about Stephen and his ministry. His life was about the kingdom of God advancing. And Stephen's death, it resulted in this widespread revival that reached beyond Jerusalem. Because at this time, they were just in Jerusalem. They hadn't gone beyond. God is all about reaching the lost. We're reminded of this. 2 Peter 3:9, right? His desire is that none should perish. He doesn't want anybody to perish. So what does this mean for us? Why do I share these things with you this morning? Yeah, it's because I believe it's important for us to understand God's purpose for our lives. Since His purpose is to have a loving relationship with every human being, God wants to use His church, okay, which is those who are already in right relationship with Him. So if we are in right relationship with Him, that's us, right? He wants to use us to carry out His purpose of reaching others. He wants to use us to extend His kingdom, to draw others into that relationship with Him. And the main point I want to make today is this. We live out God's purpose for our lives when we continually say yes to Him. We live out God's purpose for our lives when we continually say yes to Him. And that continually part, that's the important part, right? Because we like to pick and choose when we say yes. And there are many that start off saying, yes, yes, Lord, whatever you want. I will do whatever you want, yes. But as we're stretched, and when He starts asking us to do things that maybe we're not comfortable with, our answer sometimes changes, right? Well, are you sure, God? I don't know if that's for me, right? Our answers sometimes change, and unfortunately, when that happens, we fail to live out God's purpose for our lives. You see, if we want to live out God's purpose for our lives, we have to be willing to say yes to whatever He asks of us. Because, once again, it's not about us, right? A lot of times we think it's all about us. It's not about us, it's about Him, and it's about His kingdom advancing. It's about living out God's purpose for our lives. So this morning, I want to share with you out of these scriptures, I think that there are four things that can help us understand God's purpose and kind of help us live out God's purpose. And so the first thing I think we need to understand is this, and that is that God's purpose is always under attack. It's always under attack, and I think we need to be aware of that. Listen to what it says in verse 1. And Saul was there giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And then if you read in verse 3, it says, But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women, and he put them in prison. The church was under attack. Now, this must have seemed like a terrible time for those believers there in Jerusalem. You know, it's hard to imagine what it must have been like here for the early church. You know, these early Christians, they met together frequently in their houses to fellowship, to pray, and to talk with the Lord. And now all of a sudden, we don't know how, but Saul was beginning to find out where these believers were and where they worshiped. And he was hunting them down and he was arresting them and persecuting them. Now, up until the time of Stephen's arrest, it had mostly been the Sadducees who were opposing the followers of Jesus. And they were just barking a little bit, but they hadn't really been doing anything, right? But Saul, he was a Pharisee. So it appears that both the Sadducees and the Pharisees now are coming together and were actively opposing these Christ followers. And for whatever reason, at this time, the heat began to get turned up in opposition to the purpose of God. Now, the thing is we have to understand that this is really nothing new. God's purpose has always been under attack from the beginning of man. And it will continue to be under attack until Jesus returns and the enemy is conquered once and for all. Even today, millions of Christians face hostile persecution all over the world. Now, we don't feel that here in America, okay? But all over the world, there are Christians facing hostile persecution. And these are direct attacks on the kingdom of God. They're directly attacking the church. They're directly attacking God. And so it's these direct attacks that are coming straight at the church, okay? And so sometimes Satan attacks directly. And we know those, right? Because it's like, boom, wow, it just hits us. You know, I mean, ISIS, okay? That's the enemy attacking directly, okay? And that was my main point. But sometimes, and this is more for us right now, but sometimes the devil's more subtle, right? He knows that he can cause problems in the church by getting them to talk against each other, right? And he knows that if he can cause these problems, then fewer people are going to be drawn to Jesus. He knows that if he can make Christians look like the bad guys, which that happens a lot, right? We're made out to be the bad guys. And that's because some of us have helped in that process, right? If he can make Christians look like the bad guys, then less people will want to be a part of the church. I mean, you think about it, the world today, oh, the church, ooh, stay away from the church, right? I mean, think about it. Who wants an angry graceless God. Because a lot of times we're angry, graceless people, and we call ourselves Christians. The enemy is good at subtly distracting us and making us into something that God has never called us to be. Another one of the devil's subtle tactics is to get us addicted to comfort. Right? I think I may have heard a few people say, man, what's God doing? I was comfortable, right? I was comfortable where I was at. He loves to get us addicted to comfort. Gets to that point where we're too comfortable to say yes to Jesus, right? No, I like where I'm at here. I'm good. Don't mess with anything, right? We get too comfortable to say yes to Jesus. We don't want to be challenged. We like the shallow end of the pool. We feel safer there. But guess what? God doesn't call us to live in the shallow side of the pool. He says, no, I want you to jump into the deep end. To go where you're in over your head. It's funny, when my wife was praying about our future, we didn't know at that time whether it was Dallas, but when we were kind of seeking what light ahead, the only word the Lord gave to my wife was, go where you're in over your head. Thanks a lot, God. Right? He challenges us to go in where we're over our head. Why? So that we rely on Him instead of relying on ourselves. I'm okay in the shallow end, right? But it's when the deep end, that's when I have to trust in the Lord. That's when I have to rely on Him. You see, as much as I want our church to be this wonderful, happy family, we cannot and must not be content with that. About 10 years ago, when I was in Newburgh, our pastor had a dream. It was a prophetic dream. It was a powerful dream. And in that dream, the pastor was ushering out the devil from our church. It was this thing of get out. There was this chaos going on in the church, and he realized it was the devil that was there causing this chaos, and he said, get out, in his dream. And the devil began to work his way out. But just before the devil looked, he got to the doors, and just before the devil left, he looked back with a smirk on his face and said, okay, but I'll be back. Right? Probably had the sunglasses. I'll be back. Yeah, right? This dream, it shook our pastor. So much so that he stopped this series that he was on, and he kind of shifted directions, and he began to kind of address this dream and this thought of the devil working his way back into the church. And as he prayed about what the Lord was doing and saying, he ended up calling some of the pastors that had been at that church previously just to talk to them, to get some wisdom. And one of the pastors said something to him that was very profound. He said, you know, Newburgh Four Square Church, man, it's done a good job of just being a great family. But they've really struggled being the army that God has called them to be. You see, we might be a happy family, but if all we're doing is enjoying our own company and being happy and comfortable, then we're missing the point. We're missing out on God's calling for our life, and we're failing to carry out His purpose to reach our community, to advance His kingdom. We can't be ignorant of the fact that we're in a war, that a war is going on around us, that God's purpose is always under attack. But we can remember that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We have to keep saying yes to Jesus and keep advancing His kingdom, because God's purpose is always under attack. Second thing we need to understand is this from these scriptures. God's purpose, and you guys are going to love this one, God's purpose may be fulfilled through our sufferings. Amen. Well, I didn't get any amen. Preach it, brothers out there. In verse 2 it says, godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. There is no doubt that Stephen's death hurt them deeply, that it was painful to go through, that they suffered through this time. They were devastated by what was going on here, even afterwards. But even in the midst of Stephen's death and persecution, God's purpose was being fulfilled. Someone once wrote, and they didn't have who wrote this, but it said this: the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. The blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. And this proved to be true for the church at this time. Even though Stephen was killed, even though the believers were being harassed to the point of having to leave their homes, the gospel was still advancing. God's purpose was still being carried out. The fact that the believers were being forced to scatter and leave the city just meant the gospel was spreading beyond Jerusalem. Because like I said, they had only been in Jerusalem to this time. In verse 5 it says this, it says, Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. Now, listen to that. Philip going to Samaria is huge, okay? This is proof that God's purpose was being fulfilled. Remember what Jesus said in Acts 1:8 that I read to you earlier. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It proves the gospel was advancing, right? And its reach was growing. And it was happening in the midst of suffering, in the midst of difficult times. It's the reality of Romans 8:28, that scripture that we don't want to hear, that when people quote us, we're like, please, okay, I know, all right? We want to erase it from our Bible, right? I mean, it's an encouraging thing, but we just don't like to think about the fact that God can do good from bad, you know? It's that scripture, all things work together for good, for those who love them are called according to His purpose. Like, no, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear that all things will be good for those who are good and love God, right? When we face trials and difficulties in our lives, we have to first and foremost turn to God. But as we turn to Him, we need to realize that He doesn't always take those things away. Sometimes His purpose is better accomplished in the midst of our sufferings. Jesus' own life is an example of this. Think about it, because we don't like to hear that. What? No, God's it can't be better for us in this situation. But Jesus' life is a great example of this. When He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before He was crucified, in Luke 22:42, he cried out, Father, we know this one, if You are willing, take this cup from Me. Yet, not My will, but Your will be done. The fact is we're real good at praying the first part of that prayer, right? Lord, help me. Take these difficulties and challenges away from me, right? We're good at that part of the prayer. And let me just say this, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Jesus Himself prayed that, right? It's okay for us to pray for God to help us, to remove us out of those situations. And sometimes He will remove those things. Sometimes He will bring that healing or touch or do whatever needs to be done. But sometimes He handles it differently. There's a song I remember, it had to have been close to 20 years ago, man, because I know I was back in Eugene when I first heard this song. But there's a song, it was by a guy by the name of Scott Kerpane. I don't even know if he still does stuff out there. But I don't even remember the whole song. I just remember one sentence from this song because it's kind of stuck with me and I remember it. But one of the lines of his song said this. He said, sometimes He calms the storms and other times He calms His child. Sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child. You see, sometimes God will take those bad things away. Sometimes he'll come in and he'll bring healing or touch or remove us from those situations. But sometimes God's purpose is better fulfilled in the midst of our struggles. It's the second part of Jesus' prayer that's so difficult. To be able to say, okay, as much as I don't want this to happen, not my will, but your will be done. To come to that point where we're willing to get in the wheelbarrow, right? Like I talked about earlier, to be able to trust and believe that His will may be better fulfilled through whatever I'm going through, through my sufferings. You see, God's will would not have been accomplished if Jesus wasn't willing to lay His life down, right? We wouldn't have the opportunity for life today if it hadn't been for Jesus' sufferings. So sometimes God's purpose may be fulfilled through our sufferings. The story of redemption was fulfilled through suffering. The third thing that I want to point out fulfilling God's purpose is this. God's purpose includes us walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what happens in verse 6 and 7. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. These are some powerful things that Philip is doing here. And it's important that we understand that Philip wasn't doing these things. It was the Holy Spirit through Philip. It was the Holy Spirit at work in him. And I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit, God wants to do amazing, powerful, miraculous things in and through our lives. And we have to believe that and trust in that and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing we have to remember. Miracles will accomplish nothing outside the will of Christ. And what I mean by that is this, is God allows miracles to happen in and through our lives. Why? To accomplish His will. And His purpose and will is to extend His kingdom. His purpose is to reach the lost. God gave us the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can accomplish His will. This is why God wants us to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that His miraculous works can be accomplished in and through our lives. God has given us this gift of the Holy Spirit. And I guess the question that we have to ask ourselves this morning is, what are we doing with that gift? Because there's a lot of people that say yes to Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes in and He just sits there going, don't forget I'm here. I'm willing to do some stuff, right? But we forget about Him. We fail to use the power that God's given us. Do we even realize the power that we have? Do we realize the power that's in each of us? The same power that rose Jesus from the grave is the same power that lives in us. Do we understand what can happen in our lives and in the lives around us when we walk in that power? When we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? When we share the love of Jesus with someone? Because when we share the love of Jesus with someone, we should be able to say with boldness that Jesus Christ wants to change your life. Amen. Jesus Christ wants to make you whole. Not only does He want to take away their sins, He wants to help them overcome the challenges or hindrances that may get in the way of that. In verse 7, some were delivered from demonic possession. Some were healed physically. The reality is, people have different needs when they come to Jesus. And God has the power to meet whatever those needs are. And when we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, God shows us how to pray at times and what to pray when we pray for people. When I pray for people, I can't tell you how many times they're surprised by the words I pray. They're like, who told you about that? You know, it's like as if I was reading their mail, right? Like I was reaching into their brain, pulling out their thoughts, you know? It's not me. I have no clue what I'm saying sometimes. It's the Holy Spirit in me. The Holy Spirit enables us to speak healing into people's lives. The Holy Spirit enables us to share with them those specific things that they need to hear. And let me just encourage you in this. When you have weird things that pop into your brain, when you're praying for someone, don't be afraid to share them. Now, here's what I always do. I say, hey, I don't know if this, because I don't ever want to say, God said this, okay? I mean, unless God tells me to say that, okay? My greatest story of that, you never want to be corrected, right? Because my greatest story of that, I remember my brother-in-law talking about, he was in a church one time and some lady got up and said, you know, and she was very harsh, you know, one of those words that it just wasn't really God. You blah, 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 and start saying these things, thus saith the Lord. And I love one of the leaders in the church stood up and said, I did not say that, thus saith the Lord, you know. So we want to be careful, right, when we speak in the name of the Lord. Don't speak in the name of the Lord unless you know. But when you hear those things, I just always say, you know, hey, I don't know if this rings in your heart, but this is what I was sensing. The Lord was saying this to me, and that's when they're like, whoa, wait a second. Nobody else knew about that. Well, God did, right? You can't hide things from the Lord. And it's the Holy Spirit, when He speaks through us, that enables us to speak healing into people's lives and to share with them those things that they need to hear. Plus, when we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, here's the thing. When we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, people are drawn to the Lord. In verse 6, it says, when they heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. Right? They were drawn. They were mesmerized. Wait, what's going on here? They were drawn to the Lord because of what the power of the Holy Spirit was doing in and through Philip. When we're being who God has called us to be and allowing His miracles to happen in and through our lives, more and more people are going to be drawn to Him. And that's what it's about, right? That's the purpose, to extend His kingdom. God's purpose includes walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and seeing the miraculous unleashed in and through our lives. I want to do this morning, and just something the Lord put on my heart in the midst of this. And it's just this reality of I don't... That question I asked, do we realize the power that's inside of us? Do we realize that? Do we realize the power that we have to be life to those around us? I think some of us don't. And I just feel like I'm supposed to take a moment just to pray right now. Just to pray that God would help us to see the power that we have and to go with boldness and to be willing to pray for people. Because there's a lot of times we miss out those opportunities. Maybe it's those things that came into our mind. We're like, no, that's weird. Why would that? I shouldn't share that. Or maybe it's just a simple thing of God saying, pray for him. Pray for him. Well, what if I pray? Because I've gone through this. What if I pray and nothing happens? I'm going to look like an idiot. Who cares, right? It's not about us. It's about His kingdom. And maybe there's some of us at times that we're afraid. I don't want to look like the weirdo. Okay? Hey, you know what? I'm still here. I've been a weirdo my whole life. Okay? So you guys can get used to it. And if you have questions about it, just talk to me. But I just want to pray real quick. I still got a whole other point. But I just want to pray right now for us. And that we can be people who walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, right now, I just come before You and I just thank You, Lord. I don't believe we understand fully the power that You have put in us, Lord, through Your Holy Spirit. And I think we fail to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, Lord, it's not about this freaky, weird stuff. It's about speaking truth into the life of people around us. It's about speaking love and grace and mercy, Lord. That's what comes through the power of the Holy Spirit as we learn to operate in it, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray right now. I pray for people in this room that maybe have gone through those times where there's been things on their heart, but they've been afraid to step out. And then even the guilt for not doing it, Lord. We just thank you that, Lord, that we can put that guilt away. We can't change the past. We can only change the future, Lord. And so we begin to move forward in the fact that, Lord, we are people who have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we want to move forward from this day to be open to see your healing power unleashed in lives, Lord. To be willing to pray for people with boldness and with authority and trust in your will. Your will to be done, Lord. Because, so, Lord, sometimes you're gonna come miraculously and do amazing things. And other times you're going to come alongside and be that strength to help us in the midst of the storm. But we trust in you and we trust in your healing power. And so, Lord, I just pray for everyone in this room right now that you would just pour out your Spirit in a way that stirs them up to walk in the power that you've given them, to be the lights that you've called them to be, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The final thing I want to share this morning is this, is God's purpose can bring joy out of sorrow. God's purpose can bring joy out of sorrow. In verse 8 it says, so there was great joy in that city. Now we know Philip experienced sorrow, right? From the loss of his friend Stephen. Philip experienced sorrow from the loss of his friend Stephen. And I'm sure he was saddened by the persecution that the church was going through there in Jerusalem. But I believe this, he found joy in doing the will of God, in carrying out the will of God. And this sorrow led Philip to the people of Samaria, a people who were oppressed. And we see from the scriptures they were tormented by demons and by sickness. But because Philip continued to minister despite his grief and despite the sufferings that he was experiencing, these Samaritans were able to see God and were able to turn their sorrow into joy. The thing we have to realize is that when we face the struggles and challenges of a fallen world, there's nobody as close to us as Jesus. When we go through the difficulties and challenges of the world that we live in, there is nobody closer to us than Jesus. He's always there. And He desires to turn our sorrow into joy if we let Him. That's the key. We have to let Him, because a lot of times we want to just wallow in our sorrow. But let me say this. It's not always going to just happen like that. I'm not just saying like, okay, give it to the Lord and all of a sudden all the pain will go away and it will just be this happy, wonderful day, okay? Doesn't usually happen that way. Now, God can do the miraculous, right? But it doesn't always happen that way. But we can know this, that God will walk through those things with us. That's what it's about. It's that He's there, He's near, and He comes around us and He helps us through the storms. He helps us through the difficult times. And it's then that He can bring joy out of the sorrow. The early church was walking through some difficult times. They were facing some difficulties, but they continued to say yes to Jesus, right? That's what it's about. Saying yes to Him and His will. They continued to say yes to Jesus, and because of that, His purpose was being fulfilled in and through their lives. And when we continue to say yes to Jesus, His purpose will be fulfilled in our lives. So I guess my biggest challenge for you this morning is this, is that whatever God asks you to do, whatever God puts on your heart, is that you would just keep saying yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Whatever you ask me, even if it's something I don't want to do, I will say yes, because I know that you are God and I believe that you love me and desire to use me to see your kingdom extended. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. And Lord, I really believe that this is a powerful word of a time when the church was going through persecution and challenges. But in the midst of that, Lord, you were still at work. Your purpose was still being fulfilled, Lord. And we live in a fallen world and there's stuff that happens all around us. But regardless of what happens around us, you still want to fulfill your purposes in our life, Lord. You still have called us to be light in darkness, Lord, to make a difference, to see people drawn to you through your presence alive in our lives, Lord. And so we thank you for this morning. We just thank you for this word. And Lord, there's a lot of stuff that we hid in different areas. And Lord, my prayer as always is just, Lord, you know each of us. You know where we're at, and you know what you want to speak to each of us individually. What are those few things that we can just grab out of this message this morning, Lord, that will speak to our heart? And Lord, not be things that just come in and fall by the wayside, but things that come in and we say, okay, Lord, how do I live this out? How do I continue to say yes to you? How do I take those steps forward, Lord, to be who you've called me to be, to live the life that you've called me to live, to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and to see your purpose fulfilled in and through my life, Lord? It's not about us, Lord. It's not about us. This is a big world with a lot of people that you created, and you love each and every one of us, Lord. It's about your kingdom. It's about lives coming back into relationship with you, Lord. Teach us, show us, Lord, how to do that, how to help in that process, how to be who you've called us to be, Lord. We thank you for these things, Lord. Be with us as we go today, Lord. As we go throughout our week, may we think about the fact of are we living the lives that you've called us to live? Are we fulfilling the purpose? Are we saying yes to you? Because when we say yes to you, that is when your purpose is fulfilled in our lives, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for these things. We just give them to you in Jesus' name. Amen.